I love this time of year. I love it in some ways, and then I really have a hard time in other ways, is because I've been preaching for about 35, 40 years now, and what do you do when it comes to Christmas and Easter? How do you preach about that subject that you've preached about it like for 30 or 40 times? And so has everybody else in the world that's a preacher, right? So I wanted to come from a prayer, ask God, give me something fresh. You know when you ask God to give you something, he'll do it. Do you know that? He'll do it. Actually, I don't like it when he does it because it's usually at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'd rather sleep and get it the next day. Like he could send me a text or something like that and it'd just be as powerful to me. But it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, then you got to mull it over. And then you got to think about it. And then maybe the next night you're just going to finish it off. And then you just kind of put it all together and then you speak it out. So I want to talk to you about the gift delivery on the first Christmas. How many of you have ordered gifts on Amazon? How many of you done like online shopping? Online shopping is becoming more and more prevalent than actually brick and mortar shopping. Unless you go there and try things on, then you go and order them online. That's what everybody does. You can order anything online now. You can order groceries online. And so it wasn't like that before. Let me just show you what the latest is, or maybe not the latest, but you've seen. I mean, I would order things just to see the drone come in. I love this kind of stuff. And so you can do that Amazon Prime. I don't know that they have it here in Richmond, but and I don't know if they'd have it that close to the airport anyway, because you might be running into some of the jets bringing other people in. But the reality is this is the kind of transportation we have. But most of our presents are going to come like this. They're going to come in a big truck, and there are more trucks on the highway now than there ever was. And big containers. We got containers, ships full of containers, and we've got, drive through Richmond or drive through Ladner, and there's just a million containers. So how would you transfer the most precious gift ever? Loomis? Armed guards? So what did Christ do, or what did God do? The most precious gift ever was delivered by a couple of kids on a road trip. That's exactly what it was. How many of you have been on a road trip before? All right. Elaine and I are crazy about road trips. This is actually a chunk of the highway to Dawson City, the Alaska Highway. We traveled it before it was paved. It was big gumbo, and when it rained, it was like you had 3,000 pounds stuck to the bottom of your truck, and you'd slide all over the place. In the wintertime, there wasn't a bump on the road because it was all snow and ice, and you could drive down there. There was snow on each side of the road about 6 feet high, and you could drive down there at 110 miles an hour because you could see that far ahead if anybody was coming, and if you went off the road, it was just like a pinball machine. You just kind of get bang, 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 and then finally you start to straighten out again. You might not have any headlights or taillights, but you got back on the road. We would travel from Dawson City, which is 2,500 miles from here, north from here, 2,500 miles. And we'd come down in 3 days with our kids. We just never got that out of our system. Like, we can drive 14 hours. When we worked for the district before we came here, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada District, we would travel sometimes 12 or 14 hours and then have a meeting. And then we would find ourselves in way maybe north, like Dawson Creek, which is not Dawson City. It's about, you know, it's about 1,200 miles from here. And then we'd find ourselves maybe out in the Kootenays after that, and then we'd find ourselves on Vancouver Island all on the same trip, and we would just go. So we have a son that just does that. He just puts his four kids in the truck. You've seen them. They just drive down here for a weekend. It's about 7 hours one way from Williams Lake, where they live, to come down here. We have a daughter that doesn't want to go any further than the grocery store. We've ruined her. We have. She'll phone us and say, "Where are you?" "Well, Mom and I just went for a drive, you know, from here maybe to, we might have gone just to Salmon Arm for a couple hours, you know." Salmon Arm, that's another 7 hours. That's 5 hours if you got good roads. And she just says, "Another aimless wandering trip." Because we'll go garage sailing. When we lived in Asuyas, we went garage sailing, and we'd start off in Asuyas, and we'd end up way over on the other side of Penticton and Naramata on a garage sale and not think anything of it. We love road trips. So Jesus used Joseph and Mary on a road trip to deliver the most precious gift of all. Let's look at the story. We know it here. So Joseph went up from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judea, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. Now, I remember taking Elaine, and maybe some of you husbands have done this when your wife's pregnant and she just like wants to have it over with. Like, this is enough. It's not fun anymore. It's like not fun ever, but for her. I used to complain about how much it bothered me, but it was, Elaine just didn't have any sympathy for me. So you hear all these wives' tales. Well, you know what you do is you eat pizza and then drive over a real rough road and that will help the baby come. No, actually, that just intensifies the anger. The baby's going to come when the baby's going to come. And so can you imagine? They didn't have airlines. They didn't have trucks or cars. They didn't even have good roads. They would either walk or ride a donkey. So I looked on the map, and I just wanted to find out how far it was. And so it's only 17 minutes, actually, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's only 8.7 miles in the United States. I looked at that, and I thought it was farther. But that's in, actually, Pennsylvania, so that's probably not the place that that wouldn't have been a tough journey, probably. But the reality is this is where they left from. They left from Nazareth. And it was about, it's anywhere from 80 to 90 to 110 miles, or it just depends which way they might have gone. And so it was probably, in the circumstances, a 9 or a 10-day trip. And of course, they would just go on Expedia, and they would book ahead all the hotels, and then they would have, skip the dishes, and that would be all delivered to them. Right? And so they wouldn't have any hardship. You know what? They had difficulties. They had difficulties because that journey entailed her being pregnant, riding on a donkey. Joseph walking that 80 or 90 miles. I don't know, how many miles have you walked in one shot? I remember Elaine and I, we walked the Trans-Canada Trail, and so we've walked from Chilliwack right to The Vancouver North Shore, where the C-bus comes in. We've walked that distance, and I actually walked it twice because we would walk a distance, and then we'd park our car, and then we'd have to walk back and get our car, so we actually walked twice as far. I remember the longest jaunt that we did was about 15K, or was it? And we were exhausted. We were exhausted. So 15K is not 90 miles. We only went a few kilometers, really. We only went a few miles. And then we went to Tim Hortons and had something to eat, and we drove home, and we had all the conveniences to get there, but Mary and Joseph would go, and the weather was not probably that great at the time, so there'd be rain. They'd have to wear all these cumbersome clothes to keep warm, and then they would sleep on the side of the road. And they would bring their food with them because there was no place to buy food. So you can imagine this road trip was not a lot of fun. But they had the most precious treasure ever. The most precious gift, Jesus Christ. And these two kids, how old were they? They could have been in their mid-teens. Can you imagine that? Parents, you imagine that? Letting your kids go on a 90-mile road trip? Just walking, looking after themselves, no resources. I want to tell you something. When God calls you to do something, He resources you. When God calls you to do something, He gives you the strength to do it. When God calls you to do something, He's planted that inside of you. And so you need to do, I think it was Janet or one, you need to just step out and do it. I guess that was Marlene. You just need to step out and do it. That's what they did. Look at Joseph. Joseph's this young guy. His wife's pregnant. He's never had sex with her. It's a shameful situation. She's ashamed because, how do you explain that? Well, we never had sex, but I'm pregnant. We know that doesn't work. Oh, well, the Holy Spirit came upon me and birthed inside of me. Really? Are you off your medications? That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It's the most crazy statement to make in the world. But you know what? It was confirmed by God. It was confirmed by angels. It was confirmed by the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. And they knew. You need to know when God puts something in your heart that you need to carry, that He will confirm it. He will give you blessings. He will give you the strength. He'll open the doors for you to fulfill what He wants you to do. Just like Mary and Joseph. So Joseph went from the town of Galilee, the Galilean town of Nazareth. So the first thing we look at here is that Joseph and Mary were called to be the couriers of the most precious gift. They knew what the package was. Mary pondered these things. The revelation came that this would be the Savior of the world. They were Jews. They knew the history. They knew Isaiah. Where this child would be born. And she was chosen to carry this child. That's an honor. Don't you think that's the most, she was considered the most blessed of all women. But so are we. Because we carry within us this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the power and the love and the salvation message of Jesus Christ inside of us to take to this world. So they accepted the inconvenience. This delivery would cost their lives. The distance, the weather, the lack of accommodations, and the very long trip with a pregnant lady. Where are you on your journey? Because you all started on a journey. God's all called you to something. It might be at your workplace or it might be in your neighborhood. But where are you on that? Are you stuck by the side of the road? Are you kind of thinking, I can't afford to go forward? I don't think I'm the right person to deliver this. There's too many couriers on the road and I don't know my way anymore. What God wants to encourage you this morning is He has set inside of you a path to walk in this world to bring this precious treasure to those who do not know Him. And this is the beauty of this present. this gift is that you can live off of all the benefits while you're walking. See, they knew the value of this gift. The Holy Spirit said this. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. So that's like opening the present while it's still wrapped, right? I mean, she's still pretty pregnant. They don't have this little guy. I remember when my kids were born. Actually, I remember when my kids were born because I was a volunteer paramedic. And Elaine, I've been a paramedic for a couple of years, volunteer, and I remember the nurse who never had children. Why do they work on maternity wards? Come on. Anyways, I saw the baby crowning. Do you know what that means? That means that the baby's coming. And Elaine was trying to hold the baby back from coming. And I said, I will run up to the nurse's office and get the doctor. And I ran up to the nurse's office and I said to the nurse, quite excited, I said, I think the baby's coming. And you know what she said to me? What do you first-time fathers know? Well, there's a baby's head there that wasn't there before. I think, and I can recognize them. I did some first aid. I know what a baby looks like. This is our first. I have to admit that, but I do understand. This is my wife, and we're expecting. So she walks down, and she sees the baby coming. The baby's coming. And she runs back to the nurse's station and phones the doctor who was at a poker game because he didn't think the baby was going to come for another 8 hours either. And that baby came. And we got to realize that when God says things are going to happen, things are going to happen. He's the giver of life, and he knows when we're born. We have no choice over that, none of us. Did any of you have choice over when you were born? I don't see anybody saying anything. Because we're way too young. We couldn't have figured that part out. But God knows exactly. He knows everything about us. Psalm 139 says he knows everything about us. We're knit together in our mother's womb. He knows everything. And you know what? He does some pretty good knitting, don't you think? Huh? Awesome. So the next point here, come on. Anyways, you can do the next point four. Can you do the next slide? It's not working up there either. Well, they knew the value of this gift. But there's more. Wait, there's more. And they knew where this gift was to be delivered. Maybe back, yeah. Number four doesn't want to come up, does it? See, they knew the address to take this parcel, this package, this present. It was to Bethlehem. And it's interesting right now, if you look at the news, Bethlehem is in a mess. It's not going to be the same kind of Christmas that all the Christians go in pilgrimage to the Bethlehem on the 25th of December. It's not going to be like that this year. There's chances of huge riots and big wars and everything going on. There's a lot of unrest. But there's a lot of unrest even when Joseph and Mary went. But they knew they had to go to Bethlehem because in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, O Bethlehem, David's country, you are but a small hidden village in Judea. yet you will be the birthplace of the King who is from everlasting ages past. The prophecy. You see how important it is that we have prophecy today, that we are listening to the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that spoke this. It's the Holy Spirit that had the writers, the prophets of the day write this down so that we could speak to each other about this. This is what it's all about. The Word of God is fresh and alive. It's not a static book. And today in our world, we need to know that this is alive in every one of our lives. And they knew. They knew where to go. Do you know where you're going? Do you? Does God speak to you about where you're going on your journey? Because He is speaking. Elaine and I have heard the audible voice of God telling us together many times our direction. When people are in a move, I always tell them this because I believe it. God knows your new address. You might not know it. You might not have the confidence that God can put you where He wants you or change things or feel that you can trust Him with everything, including a place to live, a job to have, all that kind of stuff. God already knows your new address before you get there. And we've seen it over and over, and it's exciting. We don't get uptight about it because He already knows. And so this is where the adventure comes in. Do you think that Mary and Joseph didn't have an adventure? I would love to sit around the campfire and hear what they were saying to each other. Like, this is awesome, Joe. She probably wouldn't call him Joseph. Right? He would just say, hey, Joe, can you believe what's happening to us? Yeah, Mary, who's going to believe this? Like, is this really real? Like, I know we're going to have a baby, but is it going to be the Son of God? Come on, like, who are we to pack this child? Who are we to look after this child? Who are we? You ever said that? Who am I? Who am I that God would look at me and say, I need you to do this and only you to do this? There is no more Marys and Josephs. There's only one couple, except in a few Christmas plays. There was such a fight amongst a Sunday school class that they had three Marys that year. Because they would not be a Mary. And so the best way is just to have three Marys. So it doesn't mix with our theology very well, but there's this understanding that when God calls you, He's calling you because He trusts you with that package. You're the courier of something that is so precious that this world needs to know it. Can you get excited about that, or do you just go, oh, well, we'll just kind of go maybe next Sunday and see what He's got to say? Actually, next Sunday, we're going to have some missionaries here, so I won't say anything. We're going to have the Boulders here from Zambia. I think that's where they are, Zambia. So they're going to be here speaking. The idea is that they knew the address of the gift. They knew they had to go to Bethlehem, so they went. And then, this is the confirmation. The gift arrived safe and secure. The baby wasn't born 10 miles out of Bethlehem. Sometimes babies don't make it to the hospital. They just come out in the most strangest places. I've been as a paramedic, I've seen them born on the side of the road, not necessarily, I mean in our ambulance on the side of the road. I've seen them born inside of cars on the way to the hospital because the husband said, oh, we can do it, we don't need the ambulance. That's always comforting for the wife because he got her into that mess and now she's going to trust him with these superpowers. I remember a story about this woman who got just to the sliding doors. You know how the doors open to the ER at the top of the stairs? And she had her baby right there. And she was crying, and the ER people were trying to console her. And she says, I had my baby right here. I wanted to make it into the hospital. I just wanted to have a baby in the hospital. And they said, don't worry, dear. There was a lady here last year, and she had the baby on the steps, and she started to cry, and she said, that was me too. So it wasn't very consoling. Sometimes we don't say the right things. But Jesus had already planned where he was going to be born to fulfill prophecy. You know, sometimes we think that prophecy is only for spectacular events. But sometimes, and we talked about this in one of the sermons about prophetic utterances and prophecy, sometimes God gives you a message to tell someone. And sometimes he'll put it on your heart that you need to ask him for something for someone else. Now, don't make something up, but let him do that. I remember pastoring in a small church, but I went to do a men's retreat, and this is not an area that I do a lot of gifting in. And so I did this men's retreat, and we just had everybody come to the altar, whoever wanted needs for ministry. And I remember God gave me a word for every one of them. There's about 15 guys. Every one of them, God gave me a word, and it was right on. It wasn't stuff and I made up. It was like I came to this person, and God showed me a picture. I see pictures. And then he showed me somebody else and another picture. And I would ask them, well, what does this mean? And I would tell them the picture, and they go, oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear, or that's what I needed to see, or that's what's been always going on inside of me, and God has just confirmed that. Please understand that God knows where you are supposed to be when you arrive. It's not, like our daughter says, another wandering aimlessly, driving and then turning around after 5 or 6 hours or whatever, and driving home. We can do it the same day. We don't have any problem with that. It's not like that with God. It's this. He's got a destination for you, and you will know that destination, and when you arrive, you will know that you are there. Is that exciting? I love it. We're in Richmond because God showed us the destination that we would be in Richmond. And now that we're in Richmond, he's showing us where we can touch this world. This is exciting stuff for me. So the beautiful story about the story of Christmas is that God our Father has more addresses that this gift must be couriered to. It's got to go from Bethlehem to your heart, and from your heart to the hearts of others. That's it. That's the only gift. And I think about, what do I want for Christmas? Well, I got my front teeth are okay, so I don't need them. What do I need for Christmas? Tragically, I really don't need anything. If I need something, I just kind of go and get it or do without, but I don't do without much either in our society. We just have access to so much. So what do I need? I don't really need anything, but you know, people who do not know Christ need him. They need him. Every one of them needs him. And that is the preciousness of this gift. So there's a scripture that says this, Romans 10, 13 to 16, how beautiful. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they all be saved? Or how can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Your feet are beautiful. You might not think so. If we all took our shoes off here, we'd probably see some pretty funny-looking toes, including mine. There's people that the bottom toe, their little toe, has never seen the light of day because it's underneath like that. There's people that have webs between their feet. They can swim like nobody else. Maybe you're here and you're saying, well, that's me, but don't stand up and tell us. Maybe you lost some toes. In the Yukon, that was an awesome thing. It was a common thing that you'd be out in a trap line and you'd freeze your toes and they would just not be there. Your feet are beautiful because they're attached to you. And the reason they're beautiful is inside you, you have this precious gift, like Mary, in the spirit, not in the flesh. You have Jesus inside you. Every one of you that knows Christ as their personal Savior has Jesus Christ inside you. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, this is the time to say, this is the destination for that gift. I need to receive you, Jesus, today. And I need to walk out of here a new person with a new purpose. So I'm going to ask the team to come, and we're going to close the service. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to be couriers. I'm going to challenge you to say, this is my destination. This is what I've been called to do. I need to get on the road. I need to go on a road trip for Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to walk. You don't have to ride a donkey. You can drive a Harley. Where's Jeff? I know you're here somewhere. Jeff's got a Harley. You could ride a ninja bike, Betty. Right? You could drive a Ford 150 4x4 super cab, four-wheel drive, red. Whew! Saw it yesterday. I thought they were delivering it, but I was mistaken. It's funny, eh? You just kind of think, oh, there it is, and it's so close to my house, they must be on their way. You can snowshoe, you can cross-country ski, you can go by dog sled, you can swim, you can surf, whatever it is you're going to do, you need to realize that you're a courier of the most precious gift, just like Joseph and Mary. You are on a road trip for Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Awesome. That's what we need to do. That's the most precious gift you can ever share in this whole entire world. I want you to stand. I want the prayer team to come. Pastor Bob, if you'd come and bring the prayer team with you, and we're going to sing a song that I really, really love. But it has this invitation to be whole in Christ, but also to be washed and cleansed. And so earlier, I mean, I so much thank Tyler for coming up, and I haven't memorized the whole Bible yet. I haven't memorized a lot of it, but I read that, and that prophecy, that thing that God was encouraging us in, brought us into a place where He said to deal with stuff. We don't like those. I don't even like preaching those kind of sermons. Deal with something. But you know, when we're stuck, we need to become unstuck. And the only way you'll ever become unstuck is by the Holy Spirit and the oil and anointing and the flowing of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you can be free from anything. And you can be healed from anything. I believe it with all my heart that the Word of God is true. And so this morning, as we sing this song, I want you to come. I want you to come, and I want you, especially if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to come and say, you know what? I need to accept Him. So let's just pray a prayer in that area. And if you're here just visiting and you might go, wow, I've never been in a Pentecostal church before where they did these kind of things. We just want to be in contact with the Holy Spirit. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to Bethlehem as your word said, to be born as the Savior of the world. So now I accept you, Jesus. I accept that you wash my sins away. And I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I want you to come in to my life. And I want you to fill me. I want you to fill me with your joy. Fill me with your love. And then I want you to show me that you have placed inside of me this most precious gift. And you trust me with it to take it throughout this world that I live in. I accept this in Jesus' name. Amen.